Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stop. As soon as the music starts, we ready.
Yes, yes, yes.
What?
Come on.
What?
We come on.
Ready.
Come on,
dog. Let's go sell. Let's go watch home.
You already know I'm here.
But as soon as you get out there, things change. Yeah. What was written in The Art of War? No plan survives first contact.
Mm.
No plan survives first contact.
That's where Mike Tyson got it from.
So the Dallas Cowboys surely have a plan. That motivational music, whoever's running their speakers in the locker room, they're going to have them hyped up. Zeke going to be hyped up. He's going to be ready to eat. All of that sounds good. But the Cowboys, in my mind, are not yet prepared for this opportunity.
What?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even Tom Brady, he has had some rust, shaking the rust off. Tom Brady had a meniscus injury he claims to have had, or MCL injury all of last season he played through.
Facts.
Had surgery this offseason. Probably a large contributing factor to why he played in the preseason. Let's just make sure even you, Tom Brady, 43 years of age, that you can still move around. Tom Brady took snaps, but Dak Prescott didn't. The Cowboys may be ready in their minds, but sell.
That's all that matters. Mind over matter.
No.
Yes.
Because mind over matter. But remember, you got to matter what minds now.
What? That was not in The Art of War.
Just let that one go. That was when Mike Tyson went after he took too many punches. Okay? That was when Mike Tyson went after he took. Y'all going to figure that one out later.
We ain't ready. What war?
But there's no chance they're ready still because they haven't prepared for the moment.
What
is luck when preparation meets opportunity?
Yeah.
We just think that things get lucky by chance. No, the Cowboys are not prepared for this opportunity. There's another one. The more I practice, the luckier I got. I love that quote. The more I practice, the luckier I seem to get.
I love that.
But the problem is, the Cowboys haven't put in the work compared to the other teams that have put in the work. And to me, it's not even their fault.
Yeah.
Dak was hurt.
Yeah.
Lyle Collins, Stinger, was hurt. Zach Martin, COVID. I'm not saying it's the Cowboys' fault they haven't put in the work, but for whatever reason, they haven't been able to put in the same amount of work that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have put in. So you can do all the yelling. You can do all the theatrics. You can play all the Meek Mill songs before you go out into the football field. But when them pads start popping, it's about what have you prepared for. Did you deposit enough in the training camp, in the offseason, OTAs? Because now it's time to collect. That's what I love about football. I'm done with my notes.
You
what
done?
I love about
Good.
Football, Sal.
Let's talk. That quote ain't in my notes.
What I love about football is you can't fake it.
Hell, no.
You can't, I could still go out there and, you know, I done changed my diet. I got a couple abs. I do bicep curls. I don't squat anymore. I do enough to go out there. I could put on the pads and look the part.
Mm-hmm.
But after one snap, I would be loudly exposed because you can't fake the funk on a football field. So the Dallas Cowboys can do the yelling, they can do the screaming, they can listen to the music, but when you get on a football field between the white lines, you can't fake the funk no more, Sal.
Okay, here we go. All right. One, you too damn young to be sounding like a baby boomer. Talking about, well, they didn't put the work in. I thought y'all worked smarter, not harder. Now you all of a sudden want to work harder, too. Boy, you all over the place right now. More you practice, the luckier you get. I like that. That's a Wileyism. I stole it.
Yep.
But at the same time, that doesn't always apply in sports. I keep reminding you, first time I made it to the Pro Bowl, didn't practice one time that year. Now, I wanted to practice, but I was injured. Still went out there and performed. Let's talk about this, Acho. Let's use this psychological experiment right now. There's two ways I can get to you, Acho, right now. One, I could come over there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another way I could get to you. You could come to me.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I love football because the most talented teams, a lot of times, Bill Belichick knows this, the more talented teams, they come to you. You ain't even got to go get them. You ain't got to match their talent level. You ain't got to say, well, we're returning everyone from the Super Bowl championship team. No, the Dallas Cowboys can't say that. But if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are thinking that, oh, they in for another lesson, because they will come to the Dallas Cowboys. How many times you been in a game? Well, you went to Texas. This is tough. Seriously, I'm not even joking. How many times you been in a game where you're like, that team is more talented than us?
Once.
Thank you. It's rare, right? For you. I was in a lot of those games, so I know this dynamic mentally. But when you're in those type of games, you're like, okay, so all we got to do is just do us. Do what we do. We got this, right? But the problem is, you will skip a step mentally and physically through how you play because you think you're better. It's just human nature. If I think I'm better than you, I'm not going to give you all I got until I need to give you all I got. How many times have you watched the game or even played in the game where you're the better team and it's about the third quarter and y'all ain't put them boys away yet? Mm-hmm,
that's true.
And then you know what starts to happen? You see some moving boxes and you say, where you going, Uncle Mo? And Uncle Mo say, I'll be back. Uncle Mo over there going, we ready. And the Dallas Cowboys with weapons that are now ignited are now setting aim at the Tampa Bay Bucs. Now, you act like they can't land in Tampa Bay. Did you watch this defense last year? Give up 27 or more points in 7 different games and lost more of those games than they won. Don't act like the Dallas Cowboys can't score. That's one thing we ain't gonna come up here and do and lie about. We saw a team that struggled early last year finish strong as you can because they won the championship. But we also saw holes in that same team. Can those holes be exposed? Maybe. Maybe the Cowboys gonna go to them. Or, just like you just talked about, maybe the Bucs have come to the Cowboys.
Here's the problem with your take. Your take is correct. However, Sal, you're banking on something that you shouldn't put your trust into. You know the quote, we talk about it. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. When talent doesn't work hard, hard work beats talent. Here's the problem with that quote, because it sounds great. What happens when talent does work?
I know. And Tom Brady and the board working.
Like, when talent does work hard, hard work doesn't stand a chance. Mm, mm. So, as I look at it, the Buccaneers are the more talented team.
Okay.
If you're a Cowboys fan, yes, you could bank on the Bucs sleepwalking if you want to. But I don't think the Bucs, coming off their Super Bowl appearance first game, I don't think they got any sleepwalk in their system. Remember, the Kansas City Chiefs, coming off the Super Bowl the year before, which was last year, played the Houston Texans opening that game. And Patrick Mahomes ain't have no sleepwalking in his system. I believe he went 24-32, 3 touchdowns and no interceptions, if I'm right off the top of my head. So you can bank on a Bucs sleepwalking, but I would not. Lastly, I'm going to say this, man. You said how many games that I've been in where the team was more talented than me. I lied. I said one. Maybe it was one. National championship game against the University of Alabama. They had Mark Ingram, Heisman winner. Their backup running back was probably better than Mark Ingram in college, Trent Richardson. He was a dog. Had Julio Jones on the outside as that receiver. They had Dante Hightower as their starting middle linebacker.
Give me that.
They had a squad. I didn't think they were better than us because we had a squad, too. We were 24-2 my first 2 years in college going into that game. However, they was nice. All they had to do was prove to me they were nice. Because everybody else had told me they were nice. Other networks had told me they were nice. Highlight tapes had told me they were nice. But you ain't show me you nice yet.
Okay.
Well, by the second quarter, after they returned and in a screen for a touchdown, I was like, oh, here we go. The Cowboys cell are looking like, okay, Bucks, y'all showed the Packers y'all nice. Y'all showed Washington y'all nice. Y'all showed the Saints y'all nice. Y'all showed the Chiefs y'all nice. But you ain't seen us. Not us with Dak Prescott.
Wow.
You ain't seen us.
Wow.
You ain't show me that you nice. That lasts for a while. But the second the Bucs show the Cowboys, about 6 minutes left in the first quarter tonight, that they are nice, the Cowboys are going to be like, whoa, here we go.
Oh.
And you better just buckle up and hold on for the ride.
Oh, so we into projection to that level, that nature, huh?
We're analysts.
I mean, look, you cave your tent. Hey, pack it up, because they nice. And you don't think the Dallas Cowboys will fight a little longer than maybe Emmanuel Acho and his Texas team?
We went to the fourth quarter now. Down by 3 with, I think, 6 minutes remaining. We're the freshman quarterback. Shout out to you, Gary Gilbert.
Where are you?
He was in the Cowboys on HBO. He got cut.
Okay, that happens. But here's the thing. You told on yourself. And I love listening to people. I told you one of my superpowers is I listen. I talk a lot. I listen to more. Hey, you told me there weren't any teams more talented than y'all. Maybe one, you said. Maybe. Why was your record 24-2? Why you get two? You said maybe one, but you already had two losses. That means you lost to teams not as talented as you guys were. That's my point. The Dallas Cowboys don't have to be the more talented team, and they can still be victorious because you found yourself in defeat a couple times to teams lesser than you. Watch out, Tampa Bay, because when you hear that song, we ready.
Oh, for a commercial break.
They coming for you.
For ya.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's time for Rewarding Performance, brought to you by Capital One. What's in your wallet? Because the Bucks' quest to repeat as Super Bowl champs begins tonight against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, Tampa has the second-best odds to win it all, according to Fox Bet Sportsbook, and they brought back all 22 of their Super Bowl starters. But Tom Brady said, quote, "Nothing about last year is going to carry over into this year. It's an entirely new challenge," close quote. So, Sal, yes, sir? Will anything stop the Bucks?
That's it.
There we go. Hey, how you doing? Let me stop. All right. Will anything stop the Bucks? I don't think there's a team out there that can stop the Bucks. Like, talent for talent, you both playing your optimal football. I don't think there's another team out there that's beating the Bucks. That said, will anything stop the Bucks? I told you I'm a great listener. Oh, yeah. There are a few things that will stop the Bucks. And since I love you, Acho, I love to not only play your game, but beat you at your same game. Let's do it in threes, because I know you love things in threes. People don't know this at home. When we do our production meetings and everything, everything got to be in threes for Acho.
Rule of threes.
Rule of threes. Where'd they get that from? I don't know, but you love it. Okay, here's rule number one. Oh, this could undermine the Bucks. Complacency might get them. Think about complacency. Complacency is, we ain't got to worry about that. Whatever that little thing is, or maybe even something that's bigger than that little thing, because you already have results. So last year, you skip a step. Uh-oh, we got to go back to it. Why? We're not getting the results we need. This year, what if you skip that step and you're like, well, we're the Super Bowl champs. We're the most talented team. We brought back everybody. No one since the salary cap era has ever returned an entire Super Bowl championship team. So complacency might get them. But that's not my strongest one. Let's get a little stronger than that. Sophomore slump, as they call it, is basically your second time around, Shalimar. Second time around. You know what happens the second time around when you've done something before? You're just not tripping on it the same for whatever reason. This is what supports what a sophomore slump is. So your freshman year, your rookie year, whatever it may be the first time at it, you don't even know how you got there. And then you're like, oh, this is amazing. And then people start to pepper you with all the love and some criticism, but all the love, throwing roses at your head everywhere. Now it's time to do that again. Do you go back to the starting line? Do you go back to square one? Most people don't. They go back to square two, square three. Second time around, all right, got this. Uh-oh, that could come get them. But number three is the one. Murphy's Law. These are the breaks. Everything that went your way last year, maybe not this year. Just think about it. Even when you caught all the breaks last year, and nobody catches all of them, but they got a majority of them. What if now you get a majority of them going against you? I bring this up in just this example. The Brooklyn Nets, most talented team in the NBA last year. I think most people would agree with that. What happened when they needed that talent when it was mattering the most? Talent wasn't there. And that's when I'm looking at the Tampa Bay Bucks. What if the Murphy's Law kicks in at the wrong time, going into the playoffs? Injury here, injury there, critical player gone. What happens to this Tampa Bay Bucks team? So just like in life, it ain't about how much money you make. It's about how much money you keep. With talent, it's the same thing. It ain't about how much talent on your roster. It's about how much of that talent is available when you need it most.
Be careful, Tampa Bay, because something could stop the Bucs.
There are two things that can stop the Bucs, one team and one thing. I'm not going to talk about the team because I got to leave a cliffhanger for the next couple segments when I tell you all the team and my Super Bowl pick.
Okay.
The one thing is literally an injury specifically to one person, Tom Brady.
We know that.
Huh? It's not about injuries. Injuries, plural, cannot stop the Bucs. Not at all.
No?
Why? Because the Bucs are insulated from injuries, the way in which they built their roster. Chris Godwin got hurt last year. And so what? Didn't mean nothing because they still had Mike Evans. Antonio Brown missed time last year. Wouldn't even start the season on the squad. Missed time last year. And still got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Mm. Ronald Jones gets hurt. Bet. Still got Leonard Fournette. O.J. Howard. He missed all of last season. Got Rob Gronkowski. Mm. Defensively, Antoine Winfield, if I'm not mistaken, missed a game. Missed the NFC Championship game.
Yeah,
still had young, hungry DBs. The only thing that can stop the Bucs is an injury to one man, Tom Brady. Hmm. They're insulated from every other injury to every other player. Sure, a left tackle could get hurt. A right tackle could get hurt. I haven't dove into the second and third string offensive linemen. That's not what I am talking about. But I think the Bucs are insulated from an injury to anybody in the starting O-line. Because then you can just slide protection left, slide protection right. You can chip the left tackle, chip the right tackle. You can protect yourself from one injury to the offensive line. But if Tom Brady gets hurt, Sal, that's the only thing. It's not a matter of complacency. I'm not worried about complacency. Remember what Tom Brady was texting his guys during the week of the Super Bowl every day. Let's get this. Let's get this. Let's get this. Let's handle this. Tom Brady will make sure the squad is not complacent. But can Tom Brady make sure that he stays healthy? Even with that being said, I'm really not concerned about Tom Brady missing because of injury. He's missed 15 games in his career because of injury after out of a possible 314.
Yeah, I'm good on that.
15 games out of 100 is 15%. Mm-hmm. So out of 200 is 7.5%. So out of 300, I ain't that good at math because I ain't go to Columbia, but I know it's not a high percent. So as I look at it, even Tom Brady not going to get hurt. So the thing that can stop the Bucs won't exist. For me, it's really just that one team.
Mm, that's interesting. All I caught from that take was the fact that the Cowboys shouldn't be tripping that Zach Martin's out because all you got to do is slide protection left, slide protection right, you just cover up. That's what you
two
said.
Two people might be out.
Now we're sliding even more left, sliding even more right. What the hell are you talking about?
Slide to your left.
Boy, that song is corny Lee. Good. It's the corniliest. Anyway, let's talk about these Bucks. I really want to go and put this team on the couch before they get into it, because after you see it, then it's kind of easy to talk about what you just saw. I want to project. I want to say what could be the road bumps, what could be the speed bumps in terms of this team going forward. How the hell are put this? This was a great way of putting this. The Bucs stole the NFL's girl last year. Think about that. What does that mean? Like, the Bucs went from a non-playoff team, then had no money, showed up at the club with Tom Brady, all of a sudden left with the NFL's girl, the championship, right? And other teams are sitting there like, damn, that's how you go? But you know, I know you, Mr. Super Single, you've been in this situation before, either on the receiving end or the doer. When you steal somebody's girl, get your girl stolen, there's certain things that you always are insecure about, which is how she got stolen. And other teams are going to be sitting out there like, how can we get our girl back? How can we get... quarterback play. How can we get our girl back? Good defense. How can we get our girl? We got a competent coach that will risk it. All those things are elements that other teams actually possess. Matter of fact, they're facing one tonight. That is a Super Bowl winning coach. I know you don't respect Mike McCarthy, but there's only 9 of them walking the planet right now active in the NFL. I know you don't respect Dak Prescott, but he got the third highest contract in NFL history, and he earned it. I know you don't respect this team in totality, but the defense looked good that latter part of last year and even in the preseason this year. I put that in parentheses. But also, they got weapons. All of a sudden, if you want to go out there and steal somebody's girl, steal her like she got stole. Do the same damn thing back to them. Tampa Bay better watch themselves because Dallas could show up. Michael Parsons out there leading them boys. And they got weapons. Oh, it could turn cute.
I like where you're at now, Sarah. I like where you're at. How does your partner get took? How does your lady, how does your dude get took? Typically, it's a matter of out of sight, out of mind.
Mm.
Absence. They say absence makes the heart grow fonder. I disagree. I think it's out of sight, out of mind.
Say that.
The Dallas Cowboys been out of sight to the Lombardi Trophy.
too.
They was out of mind of the Lombardi Trophy. They ain't visited her in what, about 25 years? They done changed. They done put
her address changed. They know where she lives.
The problem is, they can't do the same things that the Buccaneers did to gain her affection, to acquire her attention. They can't do the same things. Dak Prescott's not Tom Brady. As good as Dak Prescott wants to be, as paid as he is. Ezekiel Elliott, he was not the combination of Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones last year. As good as Zeke has been in years past, the Cowboys' defense, they were not by any means the same defense as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Shaq Barrett, Devin White, when Ndamukong Suh was out there doing his thing. Vita Vea, when he was out there doing his thing. My dog from Nebraska.
This ain't your dog, then.
My dog.
This your puppy.
This ain't your dog if you don't know his name. I love you.
So, at the end of the day, bro, all the things that the Cowboys are trying to emulate, they cannot necessarily emulate the Buccaneers are one of a kind. I know the Bucs not getting stopped tonight. Like, we can at least establish.
First of all, stopped. You mean there's tonight. No way. What percentage of chance the Bucs lose? Okay. As long as you give me five, I can make that six, seven, eight. I can start pulling at that if this game stays tight as the game goes on. But you're starting to sound like a rich rapper. You're starting to sound like the rich rapper. I know a lot of rich rappers. It's amazing. Like, rich rappers are like our studio set out here. You know, we live right here on the studio lot. You go up to some of these places, it looks like different cities. And then you look right behind you, be like, wait a minute, that ain't real. Rich rapper? Oh, that ain't real. Because you ain't really got it. It ain't about how much you make. It's about what you keep. I don't know what the Bucs have kept in terms of the intensity, in terms of the vigor. Yeah, Tom Brady gonna be there. But did it get through to everybody else on this team? That's yet to be seen. You act like success is loyal. Man, that trophy ain't loyal. Success is not loyal, dog. You got to go earn it. You got to go get it. Why don't you think that Dallas Cowboys could do the same thing in terms of the bump, in terms of going from nothing to something? Because Tampa Bay just did that, and all they did was switch the quarterback, and Dak is now back.
Here's why. What people don't really realize about high-level sports, any high-level athletic competition, it's not about how good you are on every day. How good are you on your bad days?
Okay.
That's really like sports can be broken down, and I never hear people actually give this take, but it really comes down to when you are at your worst, how good are you? Let's talk Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are so good because even when they're bad, they're still better than you.
Yeah.
You can play well and the Chiefs play poorly, they're still probably going to win. That's the dilemma that the Cowboys are in tonight, but most importantly, that's the country, the world, the existence of the Bucs. The Bucs are so good that even if the Bucs have a B-minus day today, the Cowboys have an A day today, the Bucs still gonna win. The Bucs would have to have a C day today or a C-plus day tonight, and the Cowboys have an A-minus day tonight, and then it would be a close game. But it's how good are you even when you're bad? Usain Bolt can run a bad race, and he was still going to beat everybody. We've talked about this, 2017 World Championships. Usain Bolt, he didn't run a great race. 2016 Olympics, he ain't run a great race, but when you're so good, even on your bad days, you still win. The Bucs are so good that throughout the course of this season, even on their bad days, they're still going to win, including tonight.
Well, was Kansas City bad day good enough against the Bucs?
No, because the Bucs are that good.
So what if the Bucs bad day is not good enough against the Cowboys? You got caught there. Look, all I'm saying is the Cowboys, personal record in reach and vertical jump, the highest they could ever be as a team. And then the Tampa Bay Bucs, the lowest they ever could be as a team. Man, they lost to Chicago last year. That's a Super Bowl championship team that lost to Chicago last year. Like, they forgot it was fourth down. Little things like that. And you don't believe that the trophy and success is not loyal? Okay, let's talk about it then. Name the last team to go back-to-back.
Patriots.
Yeah, how long ago?
03, 04.
That's a long time. You talk about the Cowboys ain't seen the trophy in a while. Who has seen the trophy again? Tom Brady did. He ain't with those same cast of characters, physically and maybe mentally. Man, the Tampa ain't full, huh, Acho? Okay, whatever. Dak Prescott is back tonight for the first time in nearly a year. Cowboys exec and my boy, my dog, Stephen Jones, says he's 100% ready to go. On the money side, nobody in the NFL will make more than Dak this season with his cool $75 million. This prompted the Dallas Morning News to write, quote, Prescott got paid, now it's time to play. So, Acho, can Dak Prescott afford to struggle tonight?
Absolutely not. You know I believe in this, Sal. You do not get a first, you do not get a second chance at a first impression.
I'm listening.
And a first impression is a lasting impression. Mm. I ain't giving you that one before. Let's start there. The first impression is a lasting impression.
Let's go.
Surgery, if you ask a doctor, is trauma. Anytime you have surgery, you are inducing trauma to an area. That's why doctors don't always encourage surgery, because it's like, yeah, you're going to have trauma. I broke my thumb in the National Football League, my fourth year in the league, and finally after breaking my thumb, I was like, yeah, I'm good on this. I had a Bennett's fracture. The surgery did not go super smoothly. Because of that, I might be pre-arthritic with my hands, with my thumb. I go back and I ask the doctor, I'm like, okay, well, can we do another surgery to kind of fix the procedure so I don't have to deal with arthritis? He says, we can, but remember, surgery is trauma, and trauma will lead to arthritis. So in theory, it's a catch-22. Why am I bringing that up? Whenever you have to deal with trauma of any kind, you don't know how you will respond to that trauma until you are tested.
I'm listening.
Okay? Deal with emotional trauma. Break up with a significant other, if you will. You good!
Don't do it.
So you scroll on her Instagram page, and you see
it?
That one post, and all of a sudden you feel some type of way.
Why are you watching?
Because you don't know how you're going to respond to that trauma until you're tested.
That's fact.
Say you lose a loved one. You may be okay until you hear that last voicemail that they sent. And now you're trying to respond to like, man, okay, I'm not okay. I thought I was okay. Because you don't know how you will respond to trauma until it is tested. Dak Prescott, ankle, trauma. He doesn't know how he's going to respond to that trauma until he's trying to evade the rush of Devin White, until he's trying to avoid the blitzing linebacker, my dog, Levante David. I remember his name.
There you go.
Until he's trying to spin and escape from Jason Pierre-Paul, until he's trying to step up against Shaq Barrett. See, because you don't know how you're going to respond to trauma until you have to deal with trauma, both physically, emotionally, and psychologically. Prescott can't afford to struggle tonight, because if he struggles, he will now realize, uh-oh, I'm not ready to respond to my trauma. After you see your ex on the Explore page, you better put that Instagram away for a while, because you know you're not ready to see him, and you're definitely not ready to see him out. After you deal with hearing that voicemail of a lost loved one, you know what? I'm not ready for that. Let me just stay and steer clear of that. And Dak Prescott, if he has a negative response to his trauma tonight, he's not going to step away from football. He can't do that, obviously, but he will be conscious going forward because a first impression is a lasting impression, and he has his first impression tonight.
We're looking at life different, and we living different. I can see, because I am not on IG that long as you are. Boy, I would love to check your minutes viewed. It's hours, huh?
It is.
Damn!
My weekly updates. I'm like, you spent 10 hours on your phone this week.
Oh, I love it. I ain't mad at you, dog. If I was super single, I would too. Here's the thing. You just gave me a take about trauma drama, and I'm going to get to your trauma drama, but first I'm going to give you my take. Dak Prescott can afford to struggle tonight for a few reasons. One, he simply has mulligans. He simply has breakfast balls. When you get paid, people don't understand this. And I didn't understand it when I got paid. I should have used my leverage when I had it. I got hurt as soon as I got paid. I should have tapped. You know why? What y'all gonna do? I know what my cap number is. I know what my dead cap is. And I also know where my equity is. It's the highest it can be because everyone paid me for a reason. If you get paid and then you start slow or don't play at all, they still thinking highly of you. It's when you play and play bad is all of a sudden it starts to depreciate. Dak has mulligans. He has breakfast balls, as they say in golf. I also want to remind you about how success is not linear. Success doesn't mean hit the ground running. Step one, step two, step three, I'm ascending. Wow, I'm successful. Man, you got to build in failure to your success model. Everyone knows that because you're uberly successful. And I know you've had your failures, which you have talked about, that have made you so successful. Why it can't work for Dak? It worked for Acho. It worked for me. It's going to work for Dak. Let's talk about this in the sense of the trauma drama, though. Because you're saying, how is Dak going to respond to trauma? When Dak is going to look back at you, and if Dak would give these type of interviews like I would say this, respond to trauma. Fool, I was raised in trauma. Oh, my God. So I ain't got to respond to nothing that I'm used to, because I'm always used to responding to it. I think that Dak Prescott, from the outside, looking at all the things he's been through, the death of his mother, the death of his brother, just the lack of appreciation for Dak Prescott. I remember when Dak was in college and he went on vacation and got beat up. Remember that? Man, yeah. And that changed how people looked at him and perceived him. He had to take the ridicule of, I lost a fight, but it was viral, and I'm supposed to be the man in football, and how does the man in football get beat up, or whatever that was. Dak Prescott been through it, bruh. And Dak Prescott, like, I'm going to keep going through it, and I'm going to keep persevering and rising to the top. So when I look at this situation, I think simply that even if Dak starts slow, you can still end fast and end where you want to be.
That's fair. Right. I don't know that Dak Prescott can't course correct if he does start slow. I'm not saying his season is over.
All right.
But when we talk about can he afford to struggle, I think a struggle tonight will have collateral damage.
Mm.
A struggle tonight won't just be an independent struggle tonight. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys struggle tonight. Now, what's the collateral damage? Let's talk about the fan base even.
No, no, don't do that.
Cowboys haven't had back-to-back losing seasons since 2002-03. It's been a long... Were you there?
No, I was a year after that. So, you know, I broke that streak or whatever. You know,
Cowboys
I ain't helped much.
Ain't had back-to-back losing seasons since 2001-02.
Oh, give me that. A couple years already.
2001-02 under Dave Campo was the last time they had back-to-back losing seasons. Well, the Cowboys went 6-10 last year, losing season.
Hmm.
Mike McCarthy, first Cowboys head coach to debut in a losing season since Dave Campo.
Oh, damn.
Last time Cowboys had back-to-back losing seasons, Dave Campo. Mike McCarthy, first head coach, debut with a losing season with the Cowboys since Dave Campo. It does not bode well. Why do I say that? Because history has a tendency to repeat itself. But more than that, you're fearful of history, Sal. You know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Something bad happens to you in a previous relationship, and then you start to see the same signs.
Ah.
You expect it to happen again.
Facts.
If Dak Prescott struggles tonight, I think Cowboys fans might be like, uh-oh. Here we go. Because since the last decade, from 2010 to present, the number the Cowboys see most in the win total is 8. On average, them boys get
since
2010? Wins. Since 2010. They've had 8 wins 4 times since 2010. So the number they see most in the win column is 8. Well, there's 17 games this season, big dog.
Oh, damn, that 8 ain't good.
So if y'all got 8 wins this year, that's a losing record.
Yes, facts.
I think Cowboys fans will start to have their emotional PTSD if Dak struggles tonight, because now they might worry, oh, here we go again.
Oh, man. Damn, we are up here throwing some haymakers. Okay, I'm going to give it to you like this. Did you watch the Olympics?
Of course.
Yeah,
of course.
My dog, you watched it probably more than me. Oh. With 10 hours viewed on Instagram. Yeah, your ass is watching way more than me. Here's the thing. People out there, I don't know if this is a household name, but I'm going to now say a name that I think is right now the most dominant athlete on this planet. Seriously, most dominant. Safwan Hassan. I know a lot of people don't know who that is. Now get your Google out. Wikipedia time. Safwan Hassan is a lady distance runner. She runs everything from the 1500 all the way to the 10,000. She won 2 gold medals and a bronze at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Never heard of her before the Tokyo Olympics, I will admit, even though I'm a track purist. Middle distance, that's time to go get nachos. I ain't tripping. So I'm sitting there finally because it's the Olympics. I will watch the 5,000. I will watch the 10,000. I'll watch the 1500, even though that's close. That's cutting it for me. And I see this Ethiopian-born Dutch long-distance runner who... They said it, and I think Otto Bolton was talking about it. Someone was talking about it, my dog Otto. And they were saying, watch how she runs her race. Mm-hmm. She starts slow. Now, I've heard that before because I've been running track my entire life. Starting slow means you let somebody, you know, let the rabbit go. Or you're in third place and let somebody, you know, you're drafting, whatever. Huh? When they said starting slow, they understated what they meant. She immediately ran to the back of the pack and started doing this. That's the tuck jog, we call it. She tuck jogging. And I'm like, there's no way she could be the best runner. There's no way she's a world record holder. There's no way she's going to win gold. And about 2-3 laps to go, you see her peak around 10th place. Then about a lap to go, she'll get to like 6th, 5th place. And then the last lap, they even said it. She turns into a different person. And she sprints. And then by the end of the race, there's no one else in frame. And you're like, what just happened? Started slow. But got where she wanted to get. I use that as a parallel to Dak Prescott. I use that as a parallel to me sometimes in my own NFL career. Boy, did I start slow in terms of, man, who you play for? I used to tell cats I play for Columbia. They're like, in South America? I was like, damn, you ignorant. No, in New York City, fool. Y'all got a football team? Ah, how you get to the combine? At the combine, I'm arguing with dudes. They're like, where your school? I'm like, God, dog, y'all ignorant. Prop 48s. So here's the thing. Point being, you can still end up where you want to be.
It don't have to always happen immediately. If Dak starts slow, it's fine. Safan Hassan can assure him he'll be fine.
I'm going to ask you the same question that Oprah asked me the first time we talked.
Damn. You going there?
I'm going there.
I said Safan Hassan.
There you go, Oprah.
She said this.
Wow.
She said, what is your intention? That's what she said.
She said, what is your intention? Why do I pose that question to you, Sal? Because Hassan's intention was to be at the back of the pack.
Ooh,
he didn't find himself at the back of the pack.
I like you.
Her intention was to be at the back of the
pack. To him.
If Dak Prescott's intention tonight is to start slow, if the Cowboys' intention for this season is to start slow and for some reason methodically pace themselves and win the last eight games of the season like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did after starting 7-5, snaps and claps. But unless their intention is to start slow, then I don't want to see a slow start. Because if your intention is to start slow, well, do your thing. That means you're still in control. But if your intention is not to start slow and you still start slow, now you are out of control and you are under the control of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Can't afford that.
Well, there's a reason Oprah ain't asked me that question, for other reasons. But if Oprah just was so inclined to ask me that question, I would be so respectful, but I would push back and say, Oprah, I don't know if you know this, but Tampa Bay last year lost their first game. Not only did they lose their first game, they got mollywopped. But it's okay. Intention, no, and not. Excuse me, Oprah, I'm so sorry. Thank you, Butler. Thank you for the grace. I'm not mad at your question. I just ain't gonna give you the full answer you want. Like, dog, sometimes you just find yourself starting from the back, behind the eight ball. What do you do then? You just chalk it up, pack up your stick, and just say, nah? Or you realize, okay, these grapes are good, Oprah.
Security! That's what I'm doing to you. See me?
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
The NFL is back tonight, so that means it's time for us to make our predictions for this season in a segment we're calling Speak Picks.
Speak Picks,
you like that? You like that?
I don't like that. Where are your socks? Oh, God.
Let's start with ankle cleavage.
Ankle cleavage.
Cleavage.
You can't say that on TV. Let's start with which team has the biggest turnaround. Acho, who you got?
Biggest turnaround, Sal. I'm going to turn this question on his head.
The Steelers.
Not in a good way.
Oh.
Because the Steelers last year, remember, they started 1-11 straight. They ended up with 12 wins on the season. But Big Ben, he started to inch and inch and inch worse and worse and worse towards the end of the season. I think the Steelers have the biggest turnaround negatively. I think they end up with about 8 or 9 wins, dropping off from their 12 wins of last year. But there is one more game this season. So they have the biggest turnaround, but I don't think it's a positive.
You are such a pessimist. Got to make the Pittsburgh Steelers go negative. Well, let me stay positive for our show purposes. Let's go with my L.A. Chargers. Season ticket holder I am. Thank you very much. And I'll be there to see their turnaround for the positive. Look at my Chargers. Good Lord. 1 of 4 teams last year. Top 10 offense, top 10 defense, in part because of who? Justin Herbert and our defense being healthy right now. We're going to go out there and get it. 7 of the 9 games we lost last year was by 1 score. Chargers turning around. I'm going to be there, big dog. All right, let's move on to comeback player of the year. Good producer right there. They're coming to keep going. Last year, it was Washington and the quarterback, Alex Smith, who took home the hardware. Acho, who is your comeback player of the year this season?
Well, Sal, you know the value of a good education. You know the value of an Ivy League education. So I'm going to speak of the quarterback that went to the Harvard of quarterback schools. How about Jameis Winston?
Oh, okay.
Spent a year under Sean Payton. Spent a year with Drew Brees. I think Jameis comes back in a major way. We know how talented Jameis is. Remember, he's one of only 8 quarterbacks in the NFL's history to throw for 5,000 yards in a season, along with the likes of Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Matthew Stafford, etc. Jameis Winston, comeback player.
Oh, come on, man. You know who it is. He's playing tonight. My boy, Dak Prescott. Money, man, you are Dak Prescott. He's going to go out there and ball out. Because everybody's talking about, well, last year he was on pace to do. Forget the pace. Let's talk about last time he was healthy. 2019, #1 offense in the NFL. Dak Prescott over 4,900 yards. Dak Prescott, once again, is going to ball out. Next up, we saw plenty of diva behavior this offseason.
We did.
Some of the game's biggest stars and co-hosts. So, Acha, who will be the most polarizing star
this season?
I love this question, Sel. But when you said and co-host, I thought about wearing a shirt that says, I'm offended.
Oh.
Because Aaron Rodgers is going to be the most polarizing star this season.
Yes.
By week six, seven, or eight, midway or the first third of the season, you're going to have to make a decision. Do you love Aaron Rodgers or do you hate Aaron Rodgers? Mm. Aaron Rodgers has shown himself to be a little bit of a tick. He's a little bit annoying. Getting more comfortable in his annoyance as well.
Oh.
On the Pat McAfee show last year, I imagine that this year he's going to be a lot more free. Say some things with his chest. Mm. His inward thoughts are going to become an outward voice. He will be the most polarizing star this year.
Mm, I got somebody better than that, and that's a good one right there. But I have someone who didn't have the pleasure of being the veteran and then late to his career and finally making the heel turn. I'm talking about somebody they hated from hell low. I'm talking about my man, Lamar Jackson. Oh, my God. From college, the man can't do right. All he's done is win a unanimous MVP, and y'all still say he can't throw. All he does is lead the league and pass some touchdowns, and y'all say, oh, he can't win. All he does is win a playoff game, and y'all say, where's the Super Bowl at? When no other great quarterbacks, outside Patrick Mahomes, are winning Super Bowls and MVPs at this same age. Will y'all let this young man live and stay off his back? Let's continue to talk stars and hit the brightest one of all, the MVP. Last year, Aaron Rodgers captured his third MVP trophy. So, Acho, who is your pick to take home the MVP this season, man?
Man, I'm going to go with Russell Wilson.
Man, you
look, Phil, look.
He ain't never got a vote.
Tyler Lockett is now cemented as being a dude. DK Metcalf, we did not know was a dude.
Facts.
Going into last year. He
Facts.
Became a dude.
Yeah.
Now starting this season, we know Lockett a dude.
You're
we know
dude.
DK a dude.
Dude.
Left tackle Dwayne Brown is now paid. He's happy. Mm. Russell Wilson going into the season, he's good, but he runs out of guaranteed money, so he knows he has to ball this year and ball even harder than he is typically balled.
Oh, this year.
He ran out of gas last year, so he's not going to run out of gas again because he's been there, done that, knows how to change that plan of action.
Mm.
I think this is the year.
Oh, this is the year?
Russ gets him.
Oh, he's going to win the MVP with a new offensive coordinator and offensive line that can protect him and all that complaining. Okay, that's interesting. I'm going to go with the guy with the third best odds from Fox Sports Book, Josh Allen. Yes, a safer pick, but a well-deserved pick. Josh Allen out there getting it, y'all. Do y'all understand that Josh Allen is a dual threat at the quarterback position? We talk about Lamar Jackson all the time. But if you look at Josh Allen and his numbers and the trajectory, every single year he gets better. Can you imagine this year if imagine, close your eyes. I'm with you. All right, Josh Allen actually got better than last year. Oh, come on, open your eyes. That's the MVP. Finally, we can't do a prediction segment without giving you our Super Bowl winner. Whoever it is will be hoisting the Lombardi Trophy right down the street at SoFi Stadium. Well, I'm a season ticket holder. Thank you once again. All right, Acho. Give us your Super Bowl 56 matchup and winner.
We've been doing a lot of predictions. First, let me try to predict yours because all your picks seem to have the teams that you previously played for. So for the first time in NFL history, I'm sure we'll see two AFC teams, the Chargers and the Bills, playing each other in the Super Bowl.
All right, throw
messing
me those
around
away.
With
you
this, dude. But for me, I told y'all one team can stop the Bucks. It's the Rams. Give me the Rams. Matthew Stafford avenges his 0-3 playoff record. Sean McVay retains his brilliance as an OC. The Rams show up. They play the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes will go back again for his third consecutive time. The Chiefs will defeat the Rams, but I got Rams and Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
So you see that Patrick Mahomes has never beat Tom Brady. And he's going to let somebody who's never won a playoff game beat him on the way to a Super Bowl? That's what you're saying?
That's what's going to happen.
No, sir. Let's go with something a little more conventional in logic. Let's go with the Bucks over my Bills. See, I ain't play for the Bucks. I'm actually going to give them some love right there. Nah, I think Tampa Bay, man, they come back fully loaded. Last team to go back-to-back. Just happen to have the same quarterback that they have right now in Tampa Bay. So, Bills are going to improve. Bills are going to get better. But still, Tampa Bay's in your way. That'll do it for our speak picks. If all my predictions are wrong, blame him. That's how I took it.
Dak Prescott is making his highly anticipated return to the field tonight. Now, the Cowboys star recently said he has high expectations for himself, adding, quote, I plan to come out better than I was last year. Now, if you remember, Dak led the league in passing yards before his season-ending ankle last October. That's that season-ending ankle injury. Sal, talk to me. What are your expectations for Dak Prescott tonight?
Oh, he's going to ball out. Dak balls out. Last time I saw Dak, he was balling.
Then his leg went the other way from his body. And the time before that, when he had an entire healthy campaign, 2019, he just had the number one offense. And more importantly, threw for 4,900 plus yards. Dak Prescott's a baller. I don't understand why we don't call him a baller. Like, it doesn't look the way that we want to see it. It's not coming the way that I anticipated. But all he does is go out there. Every single year he's been healthy, he's had a winning season. And every single year he goes out there, he puts up winning numbers. And now people are like, oh, what are we going to expect now because he got paid? He's going to show you that he deserved that type of money. I look at Dak Prescott simply tonight as either balling or he's going to take a step down because he's coming off the injury, kind of like the Tua mindset of last year. Hey, you're coming off of a catastrophic injury. We don't expect you to hit the ground running. If he's not that baller, he's just going to be one step off of that guy. Who's that guy? That's a guy that's going to go out there, 65-plus completion percentage, give you 300-plus yards, and keep the team in contention into the fourth quarter. That's who Dak Prescott's going to be tonight.
So I think he'll struggle. But by struggle, I don't mean that he won't put up yards. I think Dak Prescott throws for 325-plus yards.
Right.
I see two turnovers, however. I see him struggling. I see him missing throws early. Not because his mind won't be there. I think Dak Prescott's mind will be incredibly sharp tonight.
Go.
One, he's hit that moment of his career where the game is just completely slowed down for him. But more importantly, last year, all that time on the sideline, that's nothing but mental reps. This year during training camp, all that time on the sideline, nothing but mental reps. I think Dak Prescott's mind will be incredibly sharp, but I think his body at times will betray him. He hasn't had to put that same zip on the ball, not in real live action. He hasn't had to evade a pass rush. Dak Prescott has not been hit in 333 days. I repeat, Dak Prescott may not have taken any physical contact on a football field in 333 days. You are not allowed to hit a quarterback at practice, and I've seen players get cut for touching a quarterback at practice.
That's right.
Just to let y'all know how protected quarterbacks are. So I see him struggling, but most importantly, even if he doesn't struggle in reality, he'll struggle in narrative form. When a team loses, you got to find somebody to blame. If the Cowboys lose, Dak Prescott gonna get blamed. He could go out there and he could ball, but players are still gonna look at, analysts are still gonna look and say, wait a second, Dak Prescott, you did throw that one interception. You did fumble going out at the 20-yard line. So even if Dak Prescott doesn't struggle in reality, I think he will struggle in narrative form. That's how I see it. But
go ahead. You better not ever do that again. Don't ever, ever come up here and insult Dak Prescott like you just did. God, Lord. Where you from, for real? Like, give me exactly where you from. I hate when people say, well, this little small town you never heard of. You know why I never heard of it? Because you never say it. Where you from?
I'm actually from Dallas proper. Born in Medical City Hospital, which is Dallas proper.
Dallas
214
proper?
Area code, still on a cell phone number.
Okay.
I ain't from a suburb. I'm from real Dallas, so I can speak on real Dallas issues.
Good.
You stop there. You had a condo. I got a house. Okay? I got mail to still get stuff to Dallas.
First of all, that thing I had out there wasn't no condo, boy. Oh, it was the reason I was in decline. Oh, my God. You know, your ego, you got to pick your ego
up. You were in Valley Ranch, though, weren't you?
No,
Valley
Ranch. Stayed in Plano.
But the practice facility was in Valley Ranch.
My house was all marble, and it wasn't that expensive.
So you stayed in Plano.
Yeah,
because
I
practiced in Valley Ranch, and the stadium was still in Irving.
Yeah.
So you were never actually in Dallas.
No.
Sal, you just hovered around Dallas.
On purpose, boy. Compton is in the past. Compton's in the rear view. I was living good out there in Dallas. Damn, I wish I was playing longer. Anyway, let's get to this. You want to get to Greg?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I got a good take. It's a fire take right now. I'm about to blast you right now. First, we got to bring in Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings, who's back from his technical issues. So, Greg, what are your expectations for Dak Prescott tonight?
They're high. They're high because Dak Prescott has high expectations. Look, we all been players. We all been injured. We all have missed time. And when we come back, even though we know the reality is we'll probably inch our way back, that's not where our mindset is. Our mindset is I'm going to start right where I left off. That's the belief. That's the approach. And when you have a coach like Mike McCarthy and you have an offensive coordinator like Kellen Moore, you're going to put Dak Prescott in successful situations. What does that mean? That means they're going to get the ball out of his hands pretty quickly. They understand what the task is as far as the opposition and the rush that's going to be in Dak Prescott's face. Acho, you talk about the pressure and him not being hit. They want to keep it that way as best as they possibly can, understanding that Dak Prescott as a player he wants to feel that contact because he hasn't had it in over a year. So when I look at what Dak Prescott's expectations are, for me, they're the same as they've always been. Him to be great, the Dallas Cowboys to possibly lose, but Dak Prescott still has great statistics. He performs very well. I don't see him having a ton of rust.
See, I don't even got to ask where Greg from because it sounds like where I'm from. To see the parallels, I can hear the parallels. But you, Acho, I don't know, man, because where I'm from, dogs don't stretch. They don't need to stretch on the porch when it's time to go. Dogs don't need to warm up. It's time to eat. We going to eat. Dogs don't even need to practice. I keep telling Acho, dog, I went a whole season without practice. 13 sacks and a Pro Bowl off your head. No practice, boy. Didn't want it that way, but that's the way it goes. But I'm leaning into what Greg just said. Mindset, bruh. You get off the operating table, you're like, man, I got about 5 seconds to be depressed, and then it's time to go get it. And then from that point forward, all you're waiting for, salivating for, is the opportunity to show everybody you got it. Yeah, I heard that thing. So the thing is, now you're going forward, and this is the moment of truth. The ball's in the air. Your team has it. You received it. You're getting the ball. It's time to go line up first and 10. You think Dak shook? You think Dak has post-traumatic stress? You think Dak needs to go through the rigors of the game to realize what the game looks like? Nah, man, I think Dak's a dog. I think we all agree on that. And this dog don't need to stretch.
So the reason dogs don't stretch is because they use their biceps, their triceps, their deltoids to run.
Oh, he ain't got a deltoid.
Primary muscle they use is their glutes, not their hamstrings and their Achilles, okay? Oh. So Dak should probably stretch.
He needs to stretch?
Okay, yes. Wow. He needs to stretch.
Oh. Anatomy class.
Here the thing, G. Here the thing, Sal. We've been going back and forth on this number. Y'all just have nothing to hold on to believe that Dak's not going to struggle. Like, I wish I could ride with y'all. And y'all know I see the glass as half empty. I don't see it as half full. But y'all remember, even when Dak Prescott got hurt last year, he was fourth in the NFL in turnovers. Fourth in the NFL in turnovers. A list that included names like Kirk Cousins. Y'all know how Vikings fans feel about him. Y'all know his perception in the NFL. He's rich, but he's underachieving. Dak Prescott is rich. We're going to find out tonight his achievement level. So even if Dak puts up yardage, which I think he will do, 325 is a high number. That's my number for Dak Prescott. He's still going to struggle because how could he not? How could you not struggle if you haven't practiced during training camp? How could you not struggle if you have not taken a hit? How could you not struggle if you have not played a game in 333 days? How could you not struggle if you have not gone through the rigors that everybody else has gone through? I just don't know how you can be in a position to not struggle. I am not blaming Dak Prescott for the struggles I anticipate he will face tonight. It is not Dak Prescott's fault. It is a response to the injuries that he has had to go through, but the struggle will exist nonetheless.
Okay, Acho, unlike me, who always tends to put the team on my back, there's no need for Dak Prescott to have to do that tonight. Why? Because everybody in that Cowboy locker room is going to want him to be successful. That goes from every offensive lineman to every receiver to every coaching staff to every trainer. Everyone is like literally going to do everything that they possibly can to make sure his return is electric. That gives me the assurance. I already know Dak Prescott's preparation. Like Marcellus said, he's a smart quarterback, and dogs don't have to stretch. And players who understand how to play the game, they don't always need to be on the field to show a coach that they're ready, to make sure that the timing is there. Sometimes when you got it, you just got it. And Dak Prescott, I believe, is one of those guys that just has it. Yes, is he going to be out of rhythm? Possibly, but not for long. You like Marcellus, you said, how much time you going to give yourself to be depressed? About 5 seconds. He got about 2-3 throws, and then he, okay, I got it, guys. I got it, fellas. And everybody around him, level of play is going to be excited. You got to remember, this is a team that missed Dak Prescott. These receivers, these offensive linemen, they wanted Dak Prescott behind them, protecting in front of them, throwing them the football. So they're all just as excited to get him back as he is excited to be back. So this is going to bode well for the success, not only of Dak Prescott, but of the Dallas Cowboys, unfortunately, They're playing a Super Bowl defending champions.
Hell yeah. You know how hype these dudes going to be? And let's be real about it. No matter where you are in terms of your mental makeup, physical makeup, when you get that injection of adrenaline, and I'm not talking about from some needle. I'm talking about from environment. Woo! Like football, dog. There's only two things I really miss about football. One is like the locker room and the workplace. Like we really cut it up. Like it's the rawest place for truth telling and just storytelling and clowning somebody. I miss that because this PC in this real world, people over here soft and sensitive. But not in football, not in the locker room where you go get somebody. I love that. And whew, when you walk out that tunnel, come on, Greg, and you got your cleats on, you hear it on that concrete. Then you hit that spike. Then it get quiet because you're on that turf. And then it's like 53 degrees. It sound like taps out there. And then that light, the heavenly light, and then the crowd. And then all you need to do is do something for them to do. And they going to do it for you. And you just sitting there tethered to them, and we just in sync. You think Dak ain't going to go out there and ball out? This team knows what Dak does with them. And Dak last year was sorely missed. 33 points a game with Dak, 21 points a game without Dak. Man, the same Dak that got the same career passer rating as Tom Brady. Shout at you, Acho. I think he's going to be ready. Tua is set to enter year two as the Dolphins' starting quarterback. But he was not selected by his teammates as one of the five team captains. Come on, y'all. Mac Hollins, who is the captain, called Tua an excellent leader, but also added, just because you're a quarterback doesn't mean you have to be the captain. Greg is back. Gotcha. Is this something or nothing? Tua is now voted team captain by the Dolphins.
It's a huge deal. It's a huge, huge. Like, I can't overstate how big of something it is. Now, it's not something during the course of the game, but you are named a team captain because you have been a leader up to this point. Now, we are anticipating you will be a leader going forward from this point, but you get named a team captain because you're a leader up to this point. As a quarterback, you are inherently a leader by choice vocally, not because we necessarily want you to be, but who speaks the most at every practice outside of the coaches? The quarterback, because the quarterback calls the plays in the huddle. The last practice right before you board the plane to play a road game or right before you head to the hotel before a home game, the quarterback calls all the different personnel groups on the field, and they end with one final victory formation. Because the hope is, at the end of the game on Sunday, regardless of what time you play, the quarterback will yell, victory, victory, and he will take a knee and the game will commence. After that victory, victory formation, the quarterback brings everybody into the huddle as the offense is sitting there watching, the backups, that is. The defense starters and backups are watching. All the coaches are watching. The quarterback is who brings the team into the huddle and breaks it down. So for Tua not to be voted a captain, that's an indictment on the respect or lack thereof the team has for Tua. I don't necessarily blame Tua. I think Brian Flores has to a degree set Tua up for failure. You get pulled last year for Ryan Fitzpatrick, a quarterback who has a less than 500 winning percentage. Now there have been rumors surfacing of the Dolphins' interest in Deshaun Watson, regardless of how true or not true it is, the rumors have surfaced nonetheless. If Flores and the Dolphins don't build respect for Tua, Tua will not get respect. And as it is right now, it does not appear that Tua is one of the most respected players on his team. And to me, that's a huge issue.
It's definitely a huge issue. I'm with you, Acho. I wouldn't say that it's about the level of respect. I just think it's more along the lines of, you got to prove it, young fella. You got to show me. Because last year, like, even though he ended up being the starter, Ryan Fitzpatrick was a captain. He's a captain now, even for the Washington football team. So that lets me know there's something about Tua that the players and players know. Players don't lie. You can't hide it from players. Like, nah, bruh, you got to show me some more than what they talking about. Because Flores can say all the right things and say he's my guy and he's our future and I don't need Deshaun Watson in so many words. But the players are looking like, you better back that up. But before you need back that up, you don't think you're just going to get this patch that says C on it, because that means something in the locker room. Players understand what that means. And if a player feels like it's just been given to someone else, then the respect thing comes into play. But until then, I think it's more along the lines of, you got to prove it. You got to earn this. It's not going to be given to you. And as players, they know what they haven't seen, but they also know what they have seen, and it has not been enough for Tua to be a captain in that locker room for the Dolphins.
Interesting takes from both of you guys. I feel like I learned something, but I've also experienced something different in this. I disagree with you guys. I think this is nothing. I think this is just simply some bad branding that has occurred, and Acho alluded to it, in terms of internally and externally. Let's be real, in the media, there's been some bad branding on Tua. Last year, a guy who deserved a mulligan no matter what he did, but he actually performed well, won 6 out of 9 ball games he started. People forgot that he deserved that mulligan because he was coming off a catastrophic injury to his hip. Not just to his foot, not just to his ankle, to his hip. And if y'all ever play sports, do not have an injury to your core, to your hip. That is damning. Okay, we forgot about that. That's fine. But, Greg, you said something that's interesting to me. You said players don't lie. I agree with you. But they are lazy voters. I know that for a fact. Players get in there. Players get... Lord. Cats be like, hey, what we got to do? Oh, no, no, we got to go into the meeting room. What we got to do? We got to vote for Cats. Man, damn. Man, all right, who? And then, I mean, it's not a heavy lift or investment by these players. Who the quarterback? Oh, he cool. Okay. All right, who else? Who else want to be? Oh, yeah, the tackle will be here in 10 years. Him. Who else? Like, it's not that damn serious, part one. Part two is, let's talk about why Tua wasn't in the consideration, being real. A guy who goes to Alabama, who's a 5-star, who literally is the most efficient quarterback in college football history, some would say that makes you the best quarterback ever. The numbers suggest something. Is now a top 5 pick on your team, and he can't beat out a guy who's a journeyman in Ryan Fitzpatrick. So cats are looking at him like, And then coach is not fully supporting him. There's rumors of other guys, Deshaun Watson, et cetera, coming out here. And then guys are not hearing the proper branding of Tua. And then Tua's not doing himself any favors because of his personal makeup. He's quiet. He's corny by NFL standards, and NFL players know what that means. That means we ain't trying to hear it. You don't have a mainstream personality in the NFL. I don't think that's a problem. But it's a problem when it comes to a popularity vote, talking about team captain. So I just see Tua just really losing the perception, which then became the reality. If they would have branded him better, if he would have arrived in a different style, then maybe they would have respected him a little more.
Let's talk. Can I look at my dogs, please? Because this is when I love this show best. When we talk locker room conversations, we've all been there. Yes. No show has conversations where everybody has literally been in the seats. Sal makes a good point. G, you were nodding your head in agreement, disagreement, I don't know. But let me further his point. His point is that people don't think that often about voting for captains. That is true at times. Some people take it seriously, some people don't. Which is why it's an even bigger indictment that Tua's not a captain. Because the mindless pick for who should be captain is the quarterback. That is mindless.
Thank you.
If I don't think at all, I'm Thank writing you. Down my quarterback.
Yeah.
That means I had to go out of my way to not pick who is the mindless pick. I had to do work to not pick Tua, because that's the easy pick. Talking hip hop, it's easy now to say, oh, well, Drake's album was the best album of the year. Like, if you don't listen to no music, the cool answer is just to vote for Drake. So to not choose Drake, you gotta go out of your way to do extra work to pick somebody else. To not pick Tua as a captain is to say either Tua is such a non-leader, vocally or by presence, that I'm going to go out of my way to pick somebody else. So,
yeah,
that's a big deal now. I don't,
oh,
I don't
you
know
want some
where
of
you
this?
At. I don't know
oh, you want some
where
of
you
this?
At, but this is... Go ahead, G. Go ahead,
get
G.
Him,
go
ahead.
G. Okay. I'm going to jump in on that, too, because I agree with you, Marcellus. And I, like, yeah, players don't take the voting seriously. Damn. That's typically the case when it comes to the Pro Bowl. Like, yep. You're talking about team captain. Like, you only have one starting quarterback. Like, most teams only have one starting quarterback. He's going to be the guy. It's undoubtable. It's not questioned. Like Acho's talking about, you don't think to just circle quarterback. Who's a quarterback? To a, oh, yeah. He's
and it's three letters.
So
that's the word for G.
Yes.
It's three letters.
This is what it says. And I'm not saying that Tua is not able to earn it. And he hasn't proven anything. He's proven something, but it's not enough for what the guys need to see in that locker room, because they're of the sense that wait. We're not going to give this to him, mm-hmm. even though, like Acho is talking about, it's the giving. It's the layup. Everybody in the organization knows how important it is and the look that it will send and the message that it will send if when your quarterback is not a captain. Like, it just speaks to where you don't have to be a vocal captain, but you better show me something on that field. I don't need you to talk. I don't need you to be rah-rah. But your play better show me that you have great leadership skills. And that's what obviously has been missing for Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh, yes, it do. We're going to go deep. Okay, here we go. Is Mac Jones a great leader? All reports said he was this entire offseason. Did Mac Jones take a veteran's job? Yes, he did. Is he the captain? No. I bring that up because I also gave up when Russell Wilson first became a player and starting quarterback from his rookie year. There was a disconnect because Russell was corny. Because Russell wasn't mainstream in terms of his personality. Russell was different. And Russell wasn't going to sit up there and talk to Richard Sherman and them dudes like he felt comfortable. So guess what happened? They didn't give Russ the full respect. Same thing happened with Tua. Literally, if you made me say, give me a blind personality test, who is the most like Russell Wilson in the NFL at quarterback? I'm like, Tua. And that's exactly why they're not giving him the full respect. They didn't give Mac Jones the full respect for a different reason. And it's all going to circle this same bottom line reason, entitlement. Like, veterans, we don't haze anymore because that got banned and outlawed, but we find ways to test these young quarterbacks, these young rookies, these young leaders, these young captains. You don't want to hand them anything that simple. You know why? Because Tua last year was in a tug of war between who was really the starting quarterback. So you think now, and they're not supporting him fully, that they just going to say, oh, yeah, he's our leader. When y'all upstairs, y'all in the media, everyone outside of here is saying he's not really our leader. My last point is simple. Drake's album wasn't the best. Donda was better than that. Now, let me tell you why. It doesn't take any work for you to actually say that. All you got to do is listen. If you're a teammate, it's about listening. And when Tua doesn't say much, as a young Russell Wilson didn't say as much, then guess what? You're not going to get that respect. So I may sound contrarian saying Donda was better, but it was just because I listened to both albums, and I think Donda was better.
You're going to need more points, Sal, because me and G still got some punches. At least I know I do. Let's start here.
What?
Russell Wilson, Mac Jones were both in a quarterback competition during their rookie years. Russell Wilson was a third round pick. Remember, he was in a quarterback competition. Matt Flynn was highly paid. Matt Flynn was supposed to be the starter. Mac Jones was a first-round pick, but Mac Jones was in a competition, obviously, with Cam Newton. Tua has not been in a quarterback competition all offseason. It is Tua's job.
This offseason.
Yes.
His rookie year he was.
Of course. I'm not mad at Tua not being named captain his rookie year.
Okay.
But Tua, this year in which he was not named a captain, has not been in a competition. Mm-hmm. Mac Jones has been in a competition, and going back to Russell Wilson, 2012, he was in a competition. Y'all can check. I just have. I'm looking at Pete Carroll's tweet from September 5th of 2015. Congrats to our 2013 team captains, Russell Wilson, Red Bryant, Heath Farwell. So with that being said, by the time Russell Wilson was the starter, like Tua is currently the unequivocal starter, Russell was a captain, Tua should be as well. But to your point and your great point of you listen to both albums. You listen to Donda by Kanye. You listen to CLB, whatever it is. CLB, CLP.
Certified Lover Boy.
You listen to that by Drake.
Yeah.
If you're just listening, then the voice you should hear is Tua's. Because if you're listening at practice, and G will be there. G, question for you, call and response. Who calls the plays in the huddle?
Gotta be the quarterback.
Gotta be the quarterback. Question, G, who assembles the offense together to call the huddle?
That would be the quarterback.
It's the quarterback. So, Sel, like, you listen to both albums. Mm-hmm. You listen to Donda. You listen to CLB. If you are on the football field and on offense and you are listening, the voice, the tracks, the records, the songs, the words you hear the most come from the quarterback. That comes from Tua.
Y'all acting like quarterbacks always the leaders. Y'all better stop.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I didn't say
you were
okay.
No.
Okay, well, wait, hold on.
No.
I'm listening, and I was in the huddle, and first of all, huddles are on both sides of the ball, so which huddle? Because Junior Seau was bringing up our huddles and the team huddles. You going to tell Drew Brees couldn't say nothing to Junior Seau.
LT couldn't say nothing to Junior Seau. When Junior Seau wasn't on the team, it became LT's team. Is he a quarterback? Hold on, man. It's like, y'all playing this mainstream game. That's why Drake keep winning and putting out mediocre songs. Like, he don't care no more. Like, y'all care, because y'all gonna give it to him because he's doing the mainstream thing. And I still like his album. I ain't trying to diss. But the point is, when you're unconventional, when you're quieter, it takes you a lot more work to get to the same place, the same point. That's all I'm saying about him. Is that they're not going to give him anything. He's going to have to earn it, and it's going to take him more time because he's a quiet type.
Marcellus, the point that I'm making is I don't care that you're unconventional. You can be unconventional.
Okay.
But when we step on the football field and you strap that helmet on, what I see is what I see. What I believe is what you show me. And obviously, they not buying it right now, period. Like, we didn't all been
Miami
on the field.
Miami ain't selling it either.
What I'm saying, look, and you want to talk about Mac Jones, but you didn't talk about Trevor Lawrence. You didn't talk about Zach Wilson. I mean, you talk about guys that not only were drafted
certified
high.
Certified lover boys. Certified expectations lover boys.
No.
They're the easy picks.
What I'm saying is, it's not just handed to you, but if you have earned it, if you have showed the poise, if you have showed the leadership, both in whether it be vocal or in your play, man, that vote is automatically coming to you. It's like it's effortless. And so with Tua not being voted team captain, is it a big deal? Yes. Is it going to hurt him moving forward? No, he still can prove that he's a leader. He can eventually get to that captain status, but it just ain't being visible to his counterparts, and that's important if you're in the locker room.
What it means, G, is at this point in time, Tua is not currently viewed as a leader. He can be that from this point forward, but at this point in time, September 9th at 1:37 PST, Tua is not currently the leader. I look at it, Sal.
Let's go.
It currently appears that every team that has named a season-long captain named a quarterback as captain, except for Tua and Mac Jones. Mac Jones was just named the starter less than 10 days ago. So, no, he should not be
the
captain.
Because
we did not even know if Mac Jones was going to be the starter, and you're not going to have a backup quarterback as a captain. Mac Jones hasn't had the opportunity to lead for very long. But Tua, he was a part of the Dolphins roster prior to April and early May, unlike Mac Jones. Tua was a part of the Dolphins roster all of last season and into this season. So I fully agree with you that it might be a throwaway vote, but even that throwaway vote should be thrown away towards Tua. So if you're not even voting for Tua mindlessly and you're not voting for Tua actively, then you're not thinking about Tua at all. Problematic.
Man, that's not problematic. First of all, Tua was on a 10-win team last year. And he was playing tug of war with the starting position. What is Jacksonville record last year and expectations this year? What about Zach Wilson since he's a captain? Captain of what? Like, y'all ain't captain of Jack. I'm talking about a team that actually did something last year. And so they may be taking this a little more seriously or maybe loosely. I don't know. But I know 10 wins is different than adding up Jacksonville and the Jets wins that don't get to 10 wins. I digress. Let's talk about the teams I've been on before. When I was in Buffalo, Bruce Smith, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, Ted Washington, Bryce Pop, none of them quarterbacks. Got to San Diego, Seau, Rodney Harrison, none of them quarterbacks. I got to Dallas. My bigger issue is this. I remember Tony Romo used to be our donuts and chicken dude. Like fourth string, somebody got hurt in camp. He made the team. He became Tony Romo over time. But Tony Romo had leadership issues, and Tony Romo had issues taking the baton from the team in terms of respect. Why? Because you're an undrafted guy who used to get us the donuts and chicken. And now, all of a sudden, we're supposed to vote you captain just because you're balling out of control? So all I'm saying is sometimes it's even a slow play when you have the right personality and you're still achieving just because of your arrival. Tua arrived in a limousine from Alabama, a top five pick. And cats are over there sitting there like, I need to see more. Have you ever seen somebody get out a limo with an outfit? Think about it. Visualize it. Now, see that same person get off the bus. You know what the difference is? When they get out the limo, you're like, that's all? When they get off the bus, you're like, damn, you fresh. Peep that difference. You understand what they're doing to Tua.
Sean McVay said Matthew Stafford, quote, has got such a great inventory of things to be able to draw on, and that's a really beneficial thing for our offense. Now over in Seattle, head coach Pete Carroll said Russell Wilson has, quote, got a little juice about him right now, and his chemistry with new offensive coordinator Shane Waldron is a reason why. So, Sal, you got more faith in Matthew Stafford or Russell Wilson winning the NFC West?
It's Russell Wilson. I just felt like online, YouTube, Twitter, you said something nice about Russell Wilson. I actually love Russell Wilson. But in this conversation, I think it's going to be Russell Wilson and his team, especially if they can stay healthy and finish the deal. Wilson won 12 games last season. Has won at least 9 games in every season. Russell Wilson is going to put his team in position. Let's talk about that position, because at the quarterback position, who's better, Russell Wilson or Matthew Stafford?
I like Russ.
Me too. I like Russ. Even though Matthew Stafford has more skills, maybe you can say. Like, if we had to go to the combine, I'm flipping my pick. But if we said play the football game, I'm going to give Danger Russ his love. Who has the better receiving core? Interesting. But, yeah, it's got to be DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, the guy you were just raving over a couple segments ago. Yeah. I'm looking at this team, and the way that they started last year, they have to finish. Play calling is going to change. Schottenheimer's out. Now you got a new play caller. Maybe Russ can cook differently and make the meal taste better. I love all of that about them. But really, I want to just kind of poke at some of the things and issues that may be occurring here in Los Angeles with the Rams. Now, you bring in Matthew Stafford, and everyone says, oh, he's better than Jared Goff? Duh. But how come, and I've seen this on Colin's show, the Herd talked about it a few times, where Vegas is not respecting the Rams anymore in terms of wins than they were when Jared Goff was the quarterback. So before the trade, 10 wins. After the trade, 10 wins. Really? The same team? You think they're going to do the same thing in terms of results, even though they got better at the most important position? To me, that's a head-scratcher. I look at him, and obviously 0-3 in his playoff stints. But more importantly, golly, how many yards you going to throw up? Passing yards you're going to have without a playoff win. You lead the pack. Now, I don't like to generalize. I hate that. I think that's part of the problem with our culture and society at large. Generalizations. Stereotypes come from them. But you know what? Every stereotype got some truth to it. And so some generalizations got some truth to it. Let's look at this generalization. Matthew Stafford's number one in most regular season passing empty calorie yards by a quarterback without a playoff win. Who's number two? Ryan Fitzpatrick. Who's number three? Jim Hart. Respect. I don't even know who you are, bro. I know you were balling. Nah. Number four, Andy Dalton. Wait a minute. Matthew Stafford is in a conversation with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andy Dalton. Do I put a lot of faith in that guy? Or do I put it in Dangerous, the Super Bowl champion, the guy who was a play away from winning the second Super Bowl championship? For me, simple. It's the guy who's done it before. Dangerous.
Hey, first off, that wasn't simple. It took like 5 minutes to say.
Okay, all right. Simply.
Extremely long, drawn out, and complex. It wasn't simple at all.
That means you don't agree.
Well, I don't agree.
Oh.
I agree with you that I think Russell Wilson is a better quarterback than Matthew Stafford. I would have more fear facing Russell Wilson than I ever would have facing Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
I disagree in that Matthew Stafford happens to command a better team. Matthew Stafford commands a better team coached by a more brilliant mind, at least as an offensive mind. Pete Carroll, we know how he is defensively.
Oh,
people would say Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf is a better receiving core. But no, honestly, I would argue Matthew Stafford's receiving core, though not as sexy by name, is as productive. They're the only duo with 2,000 yards and 180 receptions combined over the last 2 years, more than DK. More than Lockett. Both running games are in question to me. Like, Seahawks' running game without Marshawn Lynch has always been either hurt or in shambles. And the Rams, they have had running backs injured. So their running game is in question to me. But what's not in question is defense.
Let's go.
Only one team has Jalen Ramsey, lockdown corner. Only one team has Aaron Donald, lockdown defensive lineman. So only one team has two top 10 defensive players currently in the National Football League, and that is the Los Angeles Rams. I got more faith in the Rams because I have more faith in the Rams. I ain't got more faith in Stafford. But I got more faith in the Rams as a collective. And for that reason, give me them winning the NFL.
Oh, Sean McVay better than Pete Carroll. Number one, number two, number 11, number 22 going the wrong way as the offensive coordinator, play caller. Sure. Staying with Seattle. Tom Brady has done all right for himself in the NFL so far, you think? Won 7 Super Bowl titles, step forward, which is more than any NFL franchise. But he's not satisfied. He said in a recently released Bucks hype video that, quote, every great story deserves a sequel. And ours begins right now. So, Acho, what would an 8th Super Bowl mean for Tom Brady?
Woo! It would mean nothing.
No, don't do that.
It would mean
come on, man. Come on. Don't do
it
that
to me. It wouldn't mean anything.
Don't do
it
that
to me. It would mean nothing.
All right, cut. Now, nothing. Acho, me and you.
Brady just got another one, dog.
Oh, my God.
For
you
real?
You see what they posting on Instagram?
It wouldn't mean anything, Zeph. Dude already has seven. He has more than what every NFL franchise. What's an eighth?
Okay.
An eighth literally means nothing. Like, you go from being the greatest of all time to the greatest of all time. Like, maybe I pause a little bit longer. Yes. Let me hear your take. I think you got something good.
$7 million you got in your bank. You're like, cool, I'll give you another million. You ain't, your shoulder do that? That's why you bad with money. I need to be your agent, your lender. Boy, you are horrible.
It's not changing my existence.
Yes, it is.
Seven to eight.
You got begging ass cousins.
I have no kids.
Begging cousins. That's what, that other million, that's the cousin begging
money. But they're in Nigeria.
Oh,
you know, I can give them, that $50 go a long way.
That 50? Seven other things in your life. If someone said, here's another one, you wouldn't be happier? I would. Man, I don't know what you're talking about. Here's the thing. The insane amount of love that Tom Brady gets already will get crazier. Oh, my God. Like, if I'm Tom Brady and I win an eighth one, here's my example. You ready?
I'm going to wait.
All right. 2003, you know your boy on top of the world.
Talk to me,
Sam. I'm on top of the world. Well, homies with curls. Let me stop. I fly to Panama to judge the Miss Universe pageants. Now, at the Miss Universe pageant, you keep learning as you introduce yourself and meet all the contestants that you must redefine what perfect is every single time. So you shake, hey, Miss Colombia. Okay, she probably gonna win. And then you go, oh, hi, Miss Argentina. Oh, you're probably gonna win. Hey, Miss US, you're probably gonna win too. Oh my God, I'm in every country. I'm learning the globe right now. The point being, you keep redefining what perfect is. Tom Brady's career, I mean, being all things stated, it's perfect right now, but don't act like you can't redefine it. Don't act like there ain't some 11s out there.
But, Sal, you get to a point of being fine enough. And after Miss Columbia, it's like, you know what? You look good enough, big dog. You look good enough.
I don't know about you,
Tom Brady got enough.
No wonder you single still.